Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined today by Josh Clark.
Hello, Candace.
Hello, Josh.
So, Candace, I was walking down the sidewalk the other day going to get some lunch, as I do from time to time, and I noticed lying in the gutter were a pair of those plastic vampire fangs. And I thought, oh boy, I'm halfway to my Halloween costume, right? All I need is a cape, and there you go. So I put the fangs in my mouth, and I'm walking along to go get lunch, and I started thinking about this story I'd heard once about this guy named Max Schreck. He actually played Dracula in the first vampire movie ever called Nosferatu. It was released in 1922. It was a silent movie. Very creepy.
Wait. Is this the one that they sort of like redid a version of with John Malkovich?
Shadow of the Vampire.
That's
Look
it.
At you go. All right.
Well, I love John Malkovich. Yeah.
So do I. So do I. I'd love to be John Malkovich. Actually, no, I wouldn't.
No.
I think that I learned my lesson from that cautionary tale. But so have you seen Shadow of the Vampire then?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Wow. So in that movie, they basically portray Max Schreck as an actual vampire who eventually kills off all the cast and crew by basically eating them during filming. And there's actually a rumor that Mr. Schreck was a vampire. He had a really weird appearance, and he had really strange habits. So I started to do a little research, and it turns out that's not the case. He was not, in fact, a vampire. He was actually a very well-respected German stage actor. And after Nosferatu, he became very, very famous and went on to star in like 20 more films. So I'm thinking he wasn't actually a vampire. That's what I got. But I do understand that there actually was a real Count Dracula that Bram Stoker modeled his character on, that there was a man who actually lived. Is that fact or fiction? Was there a real Count Dracula?
There really, really was.
Who?
Who? Yeah. It was this man named Vlad Tepes, and he was a 15th century prince from Wallachia.
Okay, I've heard of this guy, yeah. Yeah. Vlad the Impaler, right?
Vlad the Impaler.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, and well, that wasn't the name he preferred. No. Impaler was, you know, sort of like, I don't know, calling someone a gossip. Maybe it's true about that person's character, but you wouldn't say it to that person's face.
Oh, it's true.
His subjects didn't. They didn't touch that. There was plenty of propaganda spread about him at the time that called him the Impaler. But he actually preferred the name Vlad Dracula, which translated to Son of the Dragon.
So that name, really, that Bram Stoker didn't make that name up?
Nope. Pulled it straight from the record to the British Museum. Dracula meant Son of the Dragon. His father was Vlad Dracul, and he chose the dragon, you know, to embody his character as a very sort of like fearsome and bow down before me leader. And ironically enough, he really wasn't like that. He was pretty subservient to the Turks. And Vlad grew up essentially being told he also would be subservient to the Turks.
Yeah, didn't his father send him as like a gift to the Sultan?
He did, and Vlad started, you know, plotting his revenge, and he was a defender of Christianity, and so he decided he was going to overthrow the Turks, and overthrow them he did. He was pretty intent about his mission. He consolidated power in his hometown as part of his mission to bring a more unified front to Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. and it was pretty crazy the way he did this. He invited all of the regional nobility to dinner, and he got them in his dining room, and then essentially he was like, and change of plans. Instead of eating dinner, you know, we're going to go rehabilitate this old dilapidated castle. So he had them march 50 miles away, and he put them to work restoring this castle. Not in like a fun Ty Pennington way, but like in a really scary work until you die. And if you don't die doing this, I'm going to impale you later.
And didn't he kill off the infirm and the elderly first, and then, you know, put the stout ones to work? And they worked for a while doing this, right?
They did. They did. And finally they got the castle in working order. And then, you know, his next step was his kingdom, and he didn't want any poor people bringing his kingdom down, so he murdered all the poor.
Yeah. Tens of thousands, if not arguably 100,000 people died thanks to Vlad, right?
Yeah, and then he decided that he was going to, you know, counteract the Turkish forces that might be closing in on him, so he took his people who were really sick, mm-hmm. dressed them up as Turks, sent them to go live with the Turkish forces, and that was one of the first forms of biological warfare on record, because they spread their diseases.
Yeah, and it worked like a charm as far
indeed
as
indeed it did.
But he did hate the Turks. He was actually raised for many years. He spent his formative years basically under Turkish control as a prisoner, when his father sent him as a gift to the Sultan. So he learned to hate the Turks, but he also learned something very significant from the Turks, and that was impaling, which is where he got Vlad Tepes, the Impaler. He loved to impale people.
And this is not one of my favorite parts of the story, but I know it is one of yours. So hopefully will you dazzle everyone with your definition of impalement?
Yeah, so basically, when you think about being impaled, you know, that sounds bad enough, right? I did some research on this, and there's actually a very strict procedure for impaling a human being. And Vlad had this thing down pat.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. So you take somebody, you take a poor victim, and you tied one foot to a horse, the other foot to another horse, and very slowly the horses would start to separate. So the guy's now up on his hands with his legs spread behind him with no recourse for shutting his legs whatsoever. Vlad preferred spears that were rounded at the tip and oiled because he didn't want to tear any internal organs on the way in. There's really no polite way to put this. Basically, while with the legs spread, the staff was introduced into the victim's anus and slowly pushed all the way through until it literally came out his or her mouth. Okay? That was just the beginning. After that, after they were fully impaled, they would be lifted up into a vertical position, planted into the ground, and left to die, where they would spend sometimes days. Some of these people actually died of starvation. They were fully aware of what was going on, and it was probably the worst way to die ever imagined by man.
So if any of you are still listening after that, as though that weren't bad enough, there were records that supposedly say that Vlad Tepes, a.k.a. Vlad Dracula, liked to take his meals outside among the dying impaled victims.
And you, I imagine that there was a lot of groaning and screaming, and it probably wasn't a very pleasant sound.
No, but he was a very sick man.
Yeah, he was. Oh, there was also... I think this is probably where the Dracula legend came from. He supposedly once invited some Turks to meet with him. And when they got there, he had some prisoners that he'd already captured that were Turks. And he killed one of them in front of the Turks and drank the blood of this victim, which caused the Turks to turn around and leave very quickly. Which I imagine that's probably where the vampire legend came from, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that sort of worked like a charm. And we had mentioned earlier there was a lot of propaganda spread about Vlad Dracula, and conveniently enough, this sort of coincided with the invention of Gutenberg's printing press. Mm-hmm. So it had more recently been used to print copies of the Bible, and next people turned to printing just volumes and volumes and volumes of documents against the horrors of Vlad Dracula.
Yeah, I think historians suggest that we would not even probably be aware of Vlad Tepes had this propaganda against him not been printed so voluminously. And he probably would have been even further forgotten had Bram Stoker not basically accidentally ran across these pamphlets and these books in the British Museum. So his enemies basically...
contributed to his everlasting legend.
Exactly.
There you go. And even today, apparently there's this new video game coming out, and I'm not much of a gamer myself. I'm more likely to sit down with a latte and a copy of Vogue. But apparently you can play this thing called The Path of the Dragon, and it takes you through the ruins of Vlad Tepes' castle.
Cool.
And they call the village, I think, Vladivist or something like that. And we know for a fact he didn't live in Transylvania. He lived in Wallachia. Mm-hmm. But you could sort of go on a virtual tour of the castle.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
Cool.
Just watch your step. You don't want to get impaled.
Yeah.
So,
no,
you can read even more about Vlad Tepes in...
Who is the Real Count Dracula?
Who is the Real Count Dracula? And for other delightful stories of people who supposedly drank their victims' blood, you can also read about Elizabeth Bathory and Was a Hungarian Countess the World's Most Prolific Serial Killer, both on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.